This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Please welcome
Rich Eisen.
What a story. Can't believe it.
The Denver Nuggets will go to the NBA Finals.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Love it.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. Coming up, Eagles tackle Lane Johnson. Saints wide receiver Chris Olave. From the new film, The Machine, actor Jimmy Tatro. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated. And as always, when you talk to somebody for 40 minutes, as we did over a span of two segments, I want to bring to our radio audience here what he said going out the door in our Roku channel only segment. Again, we're live on the Roku channel and in between commercial breaks on our radio side, we just chit-chat. Another benefit of watching us and getting Roku, if you already don't, and the Roku channel is free. So once you get the Roku platform, you get us. We come with it, so, like a side of fries, you know. I asked him, I'm like, hey, every summer there's a whoa moment. Look down at my phone, I'm like, whoa. Or you text, TJ, you like, text the group, like, let's just have, like, we're like, whoa. And he identified as the whoa player of the summer is Damian Lillard of the Blazers. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye out there. And as a Knicks fan would tell you, TJ, a Sixer fan or a Clipper fan, hands off. And as you as a Philadelphia fan would look at me as a Knicks fan or a Celtic fan, hands off. Damian Lillard would change fortunes of another team on the spot. And, of course, everybody who's listening to us in the great state of Oregon is like, shut up.
They're like, back up.
Do not speak that into existence. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Olave of the Saints is going to join us in hour number three. Jimmy Tatro, who plays the young Bert Kreischer in The Machine. We had the actual Bert Kreischer last Friday. The Machine is coming in a theater near you this Friday. Jimmy's going to be joining us in studio. But joining us right now is one of the best in the National Football League doing what he does. It is Mental Health Awareness Month that we are currently in. And joining us, courtesy of Couth, a leading digital mental health platform, I would say the mastermind of the offensive line mastermind summit that's coming in July, is none other than Philadelphia Eagle Lane Johnson. How you been, Lane?
Man, doing good. OTAs are ongoing, and won't be too long. We'll be back in training camp.
So, okay. About that. So the team activities for you are currently organized, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right,
yes,
now.
Sir.
What in the world does an organized team activity for the Philadelphia Eagles in late May look like, Lane?
Getting a little bit back on the field, obviously hitting the weight room, but a lot of it is getting back in there and learning the offense over again. And, you know, new guys coming in, rookies get a chance to really learn the offense or defense and get ready for training camp. That's kind of what the premise of it all is.
You don't have to call them rookies. Just call them Georgia Bulldogs, Lane.
Hey, just call them, yeah, you're right.
You know,
Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, the Georgia kids are coming in. You know, because that right? You didn't draft anybody except Georgia Bulldogs, last I checked. Right, Lane?
Yeah, and Alabama, about it.
Oh, that's right, too. I forgot about that. That's right. I don't want to disrespect your new offensive linemate, Tyler Steen. So what? When you're sitting there at home and you're watching the draft and you see Georgia kids go left and right, up and down, what are you thinking, Lane?
The best players from the best team in college football. I mean, it kind of makes sense a little bit.
Okay, so you're sitting there thinking, okay, these kids, do they come in, Georgia kids or kids at that level come in with a little bit better knowledge of how this works in the NFL, or they're just like any other rookie from your perspective?
I just think talent level and maybe the level of exposure that they had is pretty similar to an NFL market or some NFL markets. So I feel like adapting to that and then obviously being talented. And, I just think the physicality of the SEC always matches up pretty well in the NFL.
Lane Johnson, three-time All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl 52 champion from the Philadelphia Eagles here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is it like being in a huddle with Jalen Hurts?
Man, it's fun. You know, the thing about Jalen, and I discussed this earlier, I just think his presence, how he approaches everything, I feel like emotionally he doesn't get too high or too low, and so I feel like that calm demeanor kind of sets the tone for the football team. And then, yeah, just having him out there, he can obviously do things in the passing game and do things with his legs. I just think having a diverse guy like that and how he leads really – it's kind of the foundation of our football team.
How does he lead?
With work. I mean, just how he approaches the weight room, how he goes in meetings. I just think everybody respects his work ethic and his relationships with his teammates. Most of all.
And you also had a front row seat to him gaining his opportunity, being removed from a game, which I can't wait to find out the real story behind that. Game 256 a couple years ago, Lane, and then getting the opportunity to be a full-time starter and then making the most of it. I'm wondering what you've seen from him from that perspective, having a front row seat for the way he's handled his business on that. Did you ever see him get down in any way, shape, or form, Lane? The answer is yes.
Oh.
That was like
Lane didn't care for
I
that
honestly
question.
Thought, oh, no. I honestly thought for a second that he was really thinking very hard about it.
I was like, what? I think maybe he felt he was going to get too emotional to continue with it.
Oh, wait, he's calling back. Okay. Hold on a second.
Because well,
he's a professional, by the way. And you know how I feel about this. Like,
there you go.
He's back.
Lane, was that a terrible question? Is that what happened?
Yeah, no, sorry about that. Can you repeat it?
I said my question for you is, did you ever see Jalen get down at any point in time with the opportunity that he wasn't getting and then he got and they kind of had it taken away from him before he got it with a new coach and then becoming what he's become?
No, I just think from what he experienced in college, obviously that was a weird situation, but I thought he handled it, with a lot of grace. And then just, coming to the league, I think knowing his role, I feel like he understood his role. And then obviously, like we said, when the opportunity rose, he really doubled down on it. But yeah, I mean, as far as his demeanor, his work ethic, that was always a day one thing. And then, obviously as he got the starting position, things just kind of unfolded. But I just think progression is really the term, to use with him is just, every year he seemed to up his game and, become even more of what he is.
Lane Johnson here on the Rich Eisen Show. You, sir, are you've been in the league since 2013, so this is year 11 coming up for you. You're 33 years old. How are you different now than when you first came in the league, Lane?
I just think knowledge of the game. I feel like, obviously, physically, I think I may be stronger in whatever I may have lost in speed, overall speed or quickness you can make up with timing and strength. So it's just kind of an evolution of a player. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of things goes down to mentally knowing your assignment and know how to execute it better. I feel like I've had, obviously, 10 years of reps, live reps, and it's hard to replace that. And so I think just with the culmination of that, it's made me a smarter player.
Well, how are you physically? There's a lot of conversation about how, and again, I know you athletes certainly of your stature don't like talking about injuries because they sound like excuses potentially, but how are you physically coming off the last year?
I feel great. Besides the one playoff game, I really didn't feel too terrible, with our run. And so, yeah, physically, I feel loose and I feel strong. And so, whatever setback I might have had, the recovery from this injury is pretty quick, and the chance of re-injuring this is, I think, almost down to 1% from what the stats say. So, yeah, feeling good, and yeah, man, just blessed, to be with one team for all these years, and being fortunate to be a part of a good organization, winning football games and it's hard to replicate.
Okay. And that one playoff game you're referring to, is that the one that San Francisco had only 10 guys on the field? Lane?
That was one of them. And the Giants game, I feel like I probably hurt the most. It's really my first return to action.
What'd you make of Debo's comments about the NFC Championship game? How has that rested within your locker room, Lane?
Players get motivated from that, but from what he said, it's not too far off. I do think, obviously, If the quarterback doesn't go down, it is a different game. I feel like, you know, they obviously weren't able to utilize the team that they were, you know, the majority of the second half. And so, yeah, I believe it would have been a lot more competitive game.
Well, I mean, it's not that Brock Purdy didn't just trip over his shoelace, right?
It was a major injury that he's still, you know, bouncing back from.
My point is that Hassan Reddick was the one who kind of was in his lap. Right. I mean, it was affected. The moment was brought about by an actual defensive play that was repeated multiple times throughout the day.
Yeah, no question. Mm-hmm. No, it was okay. It was a weird predicament to be in. But no, I obviously know they were frustrated to have it go down to that.
OK. Lane Johnson here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tell me what you're doing with Kuth, what it is and the importance of it, Lane.
Yeah, Kuth is a free platform for kids, and the whole mission is to provide, you know, accessible and a space for the youth to achieve, you know, better mental health. You know, ironically enough, it started out of Kansas City, and we're about to spread to California. But really, it's a place for development and people to become obviously better versions of themselves. And I feel like a lot of people can benefit from this. I feel like just players in general, not only NFL but NBA, I feel like have become more outspoken with this. You know, Joe Burrow recently, Solomon Thomas, and I feel like they're creating you know, a lot of good things for the young people.
So,
in this day and age.
Well, how are you dealing with your mental health, Lane? You've definitely been open about it. You talked about how once upon a time you were. What's the phrase for it? Living in hell or with hell. What are you? What can you tell folks about your journey on that front?
I just think, you know, obviously, maybe as hard as I may work in my profession, I think developing the person, you know, outside of this game is ideal. I think a lot of players, maybe in general, you know, maybe play a whole career in NFL and don't really kind of adapt to what life after football might look. And sometimes it's a tough transition. So putting everything into perspective, I think with, you know, I work with a sports psychologist, you know, I talk to therapists and, you know, as reluctant as I was to try it in the beginning, I found out, you know, I was able to maybe peel back layers of myself and become a better, you know, father, become a better friend, become a better teammate. And at the end of the day, I think it helps out, you know, everybody kind of involved.
Do you think the stigma of talking about it is better or worse in the NFL these days, Lane?
You know, I think it was kind of in the negative light for a long time. And I think now just the more vocal that players, maybe in other sports professions, I feel like Michael Phelps was kind of a pioneer, you know, being one of the more decorated people, you know, ever in sport, and him talking about his struggles, I feel like that kind of opened the gateway for lots of other athletes.
So Lane Johnson, the first professional athlete ambassador for Kuth. You can go visit us.kuth.com. Again, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. It is a perfect time for you to maybe visit that and talk about it. The platform is free for students. How's the Mastermind Summit looking in July for the offensive line? By the way, I love the name Masterminds. It's a great one.
Yeah,
I like it.
You know, it started, you know, with 26 people. I feel like last year it's around 250 people.
Wow.
Obviously professionals, but a lot of the top college prospects are showing up. This year we have our guests. Will Shields is coming. Steve Hutchinson, Andrew Whitworth, Anthony Munoz. So really getting some, you know, Hall of Fame type players,
jeez,
Hall of Famers to come discuss, you know, their time in the league, things that they learned, how they train, you know, stuff that they might have dealt with, challenges. And really, I just feel like for everybody involved is really cool for them to maybe hear this a month out from the season and kind of put them in a good spot to start the season and maybe develop their game and make them a better player.
What about centers? Don't you think Kelsey would point out to you that the true mastermind is the center? Lane, wouldn't you say something?
Yeah,
like that?
Really, it comes down to him, the offensive coordinator, and the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think a lot of it, so yeah, I'm sure we'll add a center in there. I like to have Mangold come in there.
There you go.
You know, obviously the centers are one of the more intelligent people on the field. So, yeah, we're going to actually have Mike Pereira there for officiating.
Okay.
And discuss some of the new stuff that, you know, we're presented with every year and try to make the game a little bit safer.
So is there part of the symposium where Pereira stands there and you teach the tackles how to raise their hands up in the air in a way that doesn't make it look like they really did get caught for holding? Do you have those moments?
Yeah, that's one thing. It's like whenever we do hold, we do like to throw our hands up.
Yeah, and like I didn't do it.
Caused a lot of unwanted attention to ourselves.
Correct.
So yeah, that'll be discussed. You know, the headbutting. You know, I believe last year we started with the helmet coverings. I think that's going to kind of be a thing that we're going to have all year.
Okay.
Long, as goofy as it looks, but yeah, there's going to be a lot of things discussed.
Got to make sure. Don't throw your hands up so quickly because it makes it look like you were guilty. It really does. Maybe Pereira can help with that.
Yeah, part of it acting, yeah, you got to be a good actor.
Before I let you go, Lane, give me your favorite Jason Kelce story. What is it? Give it to me. It's got to be one. You've been around him forever. What do you got?
Yeah, probably when I hit his helmet under the garbage cans that we do drills on, and we had to go to a team drill, and he was trying to find his helmet for a long time, and he ran up to me and tried to punt me, essentially, and he hit his foot on my kneecap and had to leave practice to get an MRI.
What do you mean he punted you? What do you mean? He kicked?
He walked towards me. I didn't know if he was going to throw a fist, but I was laughing. He was obviously mad, and he... looked like he had a football in his right hand and essentially tried to punt me. In a not so good place. And my last, lifted my knee up, and that's what he hit.
So. Okay, got it. So I'm glad he hit your knee. But he did. He was fine, right? He didn't miss any games due to this, did he?
No, he didn't miss any games, but he wasn't there the rest of that practice. So that's a pretty funny story.
And he never found the helmet, I'd imagine. Also,
he had found it eventually, but there was a lot of trash cans that were going around the practice facility.
I love it.
Around.
Thank you, Lane. Really appreciate it. You know, Eagles fans are disappointed with the way last year finished, but the expectation level is sky high. What message do you have for them?
Stay with us. I think a lot of learning is going to come from last year and to make us a better football team this year. So. We're reloading and be ready to rock and roll soon.
Lane, let me just tell you, thank you again for coming on here as you have repeatedly, and maybe reach out. Let's connect before your Mastermind Summit in July.
All righty. Appreciate you.
Thanks again, Lane. You got it. That's Lane Johnson, Philadelphia Eagles tackle, courtesy of Kuth. Visit us.kuth, K-O-O-T-H, like tooth, but with a K, .com. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Aaron Rodgers has spoken, and I cannot wait to ask Mike Del Tufo if what Rodgers said is true or not.
Oh, I mean,
this is coming.
Mike would know?
Mike.
Oh, yes.
Get ready.
Mike is an expert. Okay. Gotcha. On this subject matter, he truly is.
Whoa.
It's not just saying that he is.
Whoa.
I can confirm he is an expert on this subject matter.
It's about 70s rock?
It's coming up. I would move if I were you.
Whoa.
Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Good to see you, gentlemen, right here.
Very much. Very much you. Good to see you, too, Rich.
Yeah, right back at you. Yeah.
Great to see everyone. Well, not just you, Rich.
I have a friend who, when he sees someone coming towards him, like in a room that he's supposed to know, he can tell I'm supposed to know this person, but I don't. Mm-hmm. He goes, there he is. There he is.
How are you as a ref, though?
Strictly what's called an AR, assistant referee. So I'm the guy who runs on the sideline with the flag.
I thought AR meant whole ref.
Well, that's what...
The shorts are pretty short, too. I mean, they're stocked in length right there.
Look at that ample thigh.
That's a ham hock right there.
Look at that. That's ready for market.
So
you might want to smoke that for a couple days.
You guys want a slice?
Put some hickory around it. You know what I would genuinely love for you as a second career, if you ever decided you wanted a second career? Finally be a broadcaster. Be someone who's calling color. Right?
Rich, maybe you could give me a break.
I mean, that would boost ratings for whatever sport you were talking about.
What if I took over the Rich Eisen show? Yes. Ron Burgundy did help announce the national curling finals in Ottawa, Canada. And they had all these ads for Tim Hortons Coffee, which is a big coffee chain for our Canadian listeners. And I just kept saying, all the signage, I'm like, who the hell is Tim Hortons? Who does he think he is?
Is there any possibility that we see a Step Brothers sequel?
We haven't never talked about this face-to-face in public.
No, we haven't.
So let's break some ground here. Are we going to do Step Brothers too?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Put up the Photoshop anyway.
Aww, you make sense in that world somehow, Rich.
Happy birthday to John C. Reilly.
Hey.
Ah, yes.
Who the hell is Tim Horton?
Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back on the air, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Despite our foray into New York City leaving us empty-handed and the very long night waiting.
It's so
to get the bad news
that I did not miss.
At the
Sports
Emmy Awards. Three plus hours waiting to get the news we didn't want to hear.
I had it timed at like 3 hours and 9 minutes.
Despite all of that, I'm still a very positive guy. I got the glass half full. Certainly being back in New York with Suze and all of you, even though Mike wasn't there because he was too busy going to the Lakers game with a lady friend of his.
Whoa.
It's all good. It's all good. I'm looking at the glass as half full. Perfect example. Aaron Rodgers appears to be all in, showing up at OTAs in a way that Packers fans are kind of like, well, what gives? What happened? What's going on? He's showing up. He's at one Jets drive. He's showing up, helmet on, and
right next to my house,
helping install offense and being Mr. Chips, teaching.
Mr. Chip.
In a way that reminds me of like back in the day, you know, when Brady went to Tampa and Patriots fans were like, kind of like, where are you helping out everybody? Like, what happened? Suddenly you're a giver. And Rodgers is out there, and
look at that.
Feels great. And then I get a text from Chris Brockman.
Uh-oh.
That was the text, actually, in caps. Uh-oh.
What, really?
And I'm like, what's this about? And you put the tweet in our text exchange from Diane Russini of ESPN,
who
was one of the many members of the media live tweeting the Jets OTA.
New Jersey resident.
That Diana Russini saying that Rodgers had to leave the field and he's with trainers and something's wrong with his ankle.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Chris, did I take the bait in our text exchange?
know. Actually.
I did not.
I was kind of surprised.
I did not, because this is exactly the sort
really
of
time
I'm getting ready.
Yeah, I was really
This is my training camp season. This is my organized team activity season as well. As a Jet fan, I will not take the cheese. I'm not going to go into this season saying the trapdoor's coming. It's going to be a total disaster. This whole Rodgers thing is going to be totally underwhelming. This thing is going to be, he's going to get hurt. It's going to be Zach Wilson in there, by the way. When Zach did get in there, apparently looked great. Gotta love those tweets. Gotta love those tweets. Hey, man. Zach is winning May. Zach is winning May.
Of course.
All right. But I'm not taking the cheese. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to be like, oh, the sky's falling. Typical Jets stuff. Rodgers is already on the side. Can't work out. No. Not going to go there. It's mid-May. It's late May. Come on. So Rodgers showed up to his post-game press conference, or post-OTA press conference, workout, whatever you want to call it. He said, it's minor, whatever. It's a calf. Whatever. I'll take that at face value, whatever.
I'm fine.
Zach, get your reps in, and what? He's going to make his life hell in practice, whatever that was. Great. Make all the HE double toothpicks you want, man. Great. Take the reps. Good. Love it. This was Rodgers talking about how the honeymoon that we're all feeling, it's in full bloom with him, the number 8 in green for the Jets.
Every day I wake up excited about coming to the facility. Now the commute being 2 minutes really helps, because just rolling out of bed and heading to the facility is nice. But I have an excitement about coming down Jets Drive, and it was surreal for sure, and strange to look at my locker and see a number 8, or to be rocking Jets gear. It's a little bit strange for sure, but every day there's been something that's kind of been a little special sign or synchronicity or just a cool moment that reminds me I'm in the right place.
Synchronicity.
Okay.
Ooh, the Police.
By the way, great album.
Great album. Phenomenal album. 84.
Yeah.
83.
That's what it is. Great signs.
This guy. These
are great signs.
Jeez.
Oh, signs.
I'm loving it.
Every
eye roll GIF combined.
Great. He's looking good. He's fine. I'm not taking the bait. It's all going to be good. And the coach, you know how I feel about Robert Saleh. Talking about elephants in the room and answering them exactly the way he should. The high expectations. Because you know Hard Knocks is coming.
Oh, yeah.
High expectations.
Why hasn't that been announced yet?
I don't know.
What are we waiting for?
They're too busy sending the draft to where Rodgers just left. Mike, please.
My sprinklers. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, it's all working. And I'm not getting knocked off this perch. This is Robert Saleh.
In my opinion, I think 32 teams stand in front of their teams, or 32 coaches stand in front of their teams every year, talk about winning a championship. And then realistically, there's maybe 6 or 8 teams that have an actual chance to do it. And I do think we are one of those teams. But none of it matters unless we do it. We take care of it today.
That's it. Yeah. Nothing matters unless we take care of it today. And you know who took care of it on that day? Zach Wilson, looking great in OTAs. Stop it.
Because number 8 was hurt. Already.
I am not going to be deterred. I will not. I'm not going to do that.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Stay that way. Stay that way. Will you please?
Sure.
Because they are one of the 6 to 8 teams that can win it all. They are. Everything last year was set up if only the quarterback could actually, if Zach played like Trevor in year 2, Jets would have made the playoffs. Jets would have beaten Trevor on that dreadful Thursday night, which wound up being what I believe Zach Wilson's last start as a Jet, as we just take it one rep at a time right now. So, that's the way I'm looking at this right now. Not going to be worried about a calf. Not going to worry about anything. Coach is right. Roster's right. And it's May.
And you're all right.
I am all right. I'm not going to be knocked down by a calf muscle or SportsCenter winning Best Studio Show Daily. We're not going to be undeterred. You understand? That was our Monday night calf strain.
I'm deterred.
No, don't. How dare you? How dare you? Let me just talk about it in ways that you would understand. When Mac Jones wasn't doing well, who stepped in? Bailey Zappi.
That's true.
Right.
He did great.
Boom.
Boom.
There you go.
Well, how's that supposed to make us feel better?
Love I'm Bailey. Just trying to tell him.
Love Bailey.
Don't be so down when you think things are not great. Boom.
Boom.
Calf muscle goes down. Zach looks great. He's not going to see the field. It's okay. We're good. Now then. One other aspect of Aaron Rodgers' press conference I would like to bring to the fore. Or, if you will, the floor here. Aaron Rodgers being asked about transitioning to life in New Jersey. This is what he had to say on this subject matter.
Look, I'll be honest, the only Jersey I kind of knew about besides Teterboro was Jersey Shore. And I was assured that was not a proper representation of this great state. But I'm not saying I'm not a fan. I'm just that was the only lens I saw, you know, the Jersey through. And I was walking out to practice today, and the media are here always doing little videos and different things. And the video was some do your best Jersey Shore impression, and I just kind of laughed to it. And then CJ Uzama was walking next to me, and he said, "You never watched the show." I said, "What? How can you not watch the show? One of the greatest shows back when MTV actually, you know, have content on it. It's phenomenal." But no, I'm a fan of all of them. I actually went to Pauly D set back in Vegas, and like, I don't know, back when I used to go there a few times a year back in like 2011 or something. So,
few things. First of all, for those across the United States, Teterboro is a private aviation. Facility that is about a 10-minute drive from George Washington. The George Washington Bridge gets you right into New York. If you want to fly private in New York, that's where you go in New Jersey. That's Teterboro, number one. Number two, you never watch The Sopranos? That surprises me. Oof. Because, he's...
Pretty big
Tony's flag. Tony's pulling tickets going back to New Jersey from New York through the turnpike.
Oil tanker.
All that stuff. Oil. All right, but that's be that as it may. This is where we're going to land on this subject matter. Mike Del Tufo.
Yes, Richard.
Is the Jersey Shore representative of the New Jersey people, yay or nay? Mike Del Tufo.
They didn't even live in New Jersey. There was one person out of that group that lived in New Jersey. I am the Jersey Shore, not those.
Oh, my. You're the one who knocks.
Yeah, they're okay. I DJ'd in Seaside before those idiots were even born. They are not even remotely
They're
close.
Not representative.
No, they're morons. That was fake.
Mike, I'm from Staten Island. Those
that's
folks
where they were from. Two of them were from Staten Island, just to go to show you. And that's not Jersey.
So
it's New York.
What pop culture is the most representative of New Jersey then, in your estimation? Anything of The Sopranos?
Sopranos 100% is really close. I'm trying to think of what else. There's got to be something else that we're not thinking about.
I don't know how many other Jersey things there are. Bruce, obviously, you think of Bruce Springsteen. You think of New Jersey, yeah, pop culture, you think of Springsteen, The Sopranos, all the big bosses, Tony Soprano, Bill Parcells. That's what you think of.
I mean, Boardwalk Empire does.
Oh, my God.
AC is not. Really.
That's AC's not part.
AC's more.
No,
but they do show some of the AC in The Sopranos.
Sopranos is definitely.
And we're not talking about the mob life either.
No,
you're talking about, you know, life. Like there's a meets, you know, Satrials. There's
yes, people go down the shore.
There's the Bing.
It's called Down the Shore.
There's Stugatz. There's
a lot of people.
There's jumpsuits.
Like, right, yeah. Right now, I'm rewatching The Sopranos right now, and I'm up to the part where Adriana gets her own club.
Oh,
there's a club life. There's
a lot of
New Jersey
clubs.
Right,
but that's. Yeah, he doesn't.
So are you really saying there's nothing, no part of the Jersey Shore that was representative of New Jersey at all?
The shore's representative.
That's it. And the club that my friend's family owned, Karma. That's it. There's nothing else in that show. They're idiots. That house, it's like they set that house up. They brought those idiots from out of state to our state.
Yes.
And made us look like a bunch of Well, we are, actually. But, I mean, seriously, they made New Jersey like a bunch of idiots.
Copland? Was that...
Copland, yes. I was actually... Sylvester Stallone's very similar to the way I was in my small town when I was a cop. I mean, that's what we were like.
Wasn't he a bad cop?
Yes, because we had New York cops and stuff that lived in our town.
Wasn't he a bad cop in Copland?
No, Sylvester Stallone's not bad. No,
he's
trying to be good.
I haven't seen that
in a long time. He's trying to be good with De Niro. De Niro helps him out, trying to make the... The bad guys are a couple of the other guys.
All right.
Ray Liotta was a good guy, too.
I knew this would be a good conversation to have.
This is nice.
Copland is very, because that's right across from New York.
Wait, when Roger says it's a two-minute commute, where does he live?
I'm betting he lives...
Right around, I'm sure in some spot nearby the facility.
Florham Park is beautiful, where that facility is. Livingston's literally the next town over. You have.
What if Rogers lives in Livingston?
I would not be surprised if he lives in Livingston, because there's... Beautiful.
So what
new
advice
houses.
Would you give Aaron Rodgers to living in Livingston or right in that area?
Oh, is it too many what advice would you give? A lot of great bagels to play. Oh, my God.
Pizza. Bagels. Excuse me. Bagels. Don't tell a near 39-year-old guy to go load up
bagels?
On carbs.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
Gluten-free. I'm on gluten-free. That's how I'm losing weight. Gluten-free? You don't need bread. by the way,
yeah.
he could live. That's probably where he's I'm not kidding. You're probably
that's
right,
it.
Chris.
So he's not going. He didn't do the Brooklyn thing and commuting. He's in. He's all in. He's got a two-minute commute.
Because it would be two
minutes.
He's
showing up at OTAs.
Rocco's is my friend's restaurant that used to be there. That's 2-3 minutes.
He's saying there are lots of things that happen every day that show him this is the right thing for him.
Is Bedminster? No, that's too far away.
Fantastic. It's great. And he'll learn that you say the Jersey Shore is not representative.
If I see Aaron, I'm going to go right to his face. I'm like, Aaron, not... New Jersey. I would be like, Aaron,
well,
no.
You've said, man, everyone has told him it is not representative, as he said, the great state of New Jersey.
It's not. It's just.
Very good.
I'd be like, yeah.
Rodgers is gone. Now they're putting the draft in Green Bay. Did you see that?
I did.
2025 draft going
to
Green
awesome.
Bay.
Nice.
So next year, Detroit.
And then, yeah.
And then 25
then state
Green
over.
Bay.
And then, yeah.
That's going to be cool.
Where are they doing?
Then across
right
the lake.
Lambeau?
I think we're going to have to be posted up there. Rich, what do you say?
I have no idea. That's too. I imagine the draft will be.
Jeez, Chris.
It won't be inside Lambeau Field, will it? It could be.
You can do it in front. That part.
Why not?
Big space.
Have the draft hall in there, and
yeah.
Then and then
they got that atrium. It's beautiful.
And then you have all this and everybody in the stands.
Oh, that
they're
would
like
actually,
a football game, but have it be the draft.
That's a piece of history.
I have
here,
no
Lambeau.
Idea where they have it. Well, did you? What's the internal discussions been?
I have not received any emails from my correspondents.
There's been no internal discussions.
I will get that, and I will let you guys know.
Thanks for the heads up.
So,
I think you're being disrespected. You didn't get a heads up on this as an owner.
I just
share
kept
of Green
quiet.
Bay Packers
I kept
football.
I kept it quiet. I knew. Good. I knew a couple weeks ago. They asked.
Good chat. 844-204 Rich, number to dial here on the show. Chris Olave of the Saints, Jimmy Tatro of the Machine, still to come. But when we come back, the 49ers quarterback situation, one of the biggest mysteries of the season, unless it appears if you're Kyle Shanahan. That's coming up.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
So, do you know who apparently won the Emmy trip to New York? That guy.
He won the Emmy trip?
Oh, yeah. Anybody sing karaoke late at night? Late into the night in New York? Anybody do that? Did you do that?
No,
I know you didn't go.
No.
I didn't do it. Did you do that?
I did do that.
You did do that.
Where did he do it? What happened?
How does that make you win?
Some little spot on Lafayette Street.
That's a win.
Oh. You know?
It's a win.
But you have to be good at singing.
TJ, what'd you sing?
Well, the thing is, I'm not good at singing, Chris. That's the thing. But what I do is I turn the party out. And I had a Golden Girls t-shirt on, which throughout the course of a day, multiple people just stopped me on the street, just complimenting me on the shirt. So I got into the bar, like 8 people loved my shirt, and I was getting ready to go sing 99 Problems by Jay-Z. And
what'd you do instead?
Thank you for being a friend. I did the Golden Girls theme. I mean, the entire bar sang with me.
Who,
it was amazing.
Who were you there with?
My buddy Gerald, my buddy nice. Seth, who's in The Walking Dead. So we just met up with these guys. And,
that's fun.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a win.
Thanks for the input.
Going to New York.
I don't think you were in town yet.
Yeah. You tapped out. I offered you guys a trip to see Pardon My Take in studio,
no chance.
Which normally you guys would jump at.
I would have. I wanted to, but I was dead to the world.
I don't really watch Pardon My Take, so I didn't.
I got it.
Yeah.
I would think you would normally jump at that.
Yeah, Chris, I would have, but I couldn't move.
Too much well, acting as an actor. He'd spent all weekend as an actor, and his acting skills as an actor were so stretched then. That and the golf and the drinking, he wasn't going to go to Pardon My Take.
Too much acting.
How many autographs did you sign, Chris?
Too much acting, right?
People were very, very nice. Jack. A lot of people saying they enjoyed the show.
That's what I want.
You know, didn't want to bother me, but they had to tell me. It was very, very nice.
That's so nice. Very good. And they raised almost $2 million for St. Jude.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is great.
That's good. Back here on our radio show, along with the Roku channel live stream. Let's go to the phone lines. Al in Dallas. Let's get him on the phone line. I saw here he just called in. Let's get him. How you doing, Al?
I'm disgusted. It's a travesty.
What is
it? That you lost a Sports Center? That's ridiculous. So it's not even in the same venue. I mean, purview. It's stupid. I can't believe it.
No, I mean it's a daily studio show, and so are we. So
no, but you're a radio show. You're a talk show. You're a radio. You know what I mean? Like that, if you lost to Stephen A. Smith or something like that, that's totally different, right? Sports Center.
It's all good. Yeah. I mean, that's where I come from. That's my DNA.
I'm not. Listen, yeah, no, I get it. But you've evolved.
I appreciate that, Al. No, it's all good. It's all good.
I'm mortified. What? So the Dallas, by the way, if you haven't noticed, is the epicenter of the golfing world this weekend, where they're hosting two events. One being the Michael Block Open, and the other one being the PGA Senior Tour. Here in wonderful Frisco, Texas. So we're hosting it all in the same town, which is very, very bizarre.
What would happen? I mean, and thanks for the call, Al. Greatly appreciate it, and we appreciate your fandom and support. It's all good, honestly. What if Michael Block wins this week?
Oh my gosh! I mean, it's already a movie. Like this story, for people who don't know, this local PGA professional at a course down in Orange County.
Charges $150 an hour for lessons.
$150 an hour for lessons. He made $300K over the weekend. He finished 15th. He played in the final group with Rory. He has a hole in one in the final round. Jarred it. It's one of the most amazing stories. It's literally a Disney movie that took place
to help him get into the Byron
over
Nelson
the weekend. They gave him he got the last exemption in. They invited him. He's going to play in the Canadian Open. Like this guy's life is now completely changed.
How wonderful!
He said he had 2,000 text messages, and he had only been through like a few hundred of them. Michael Jordan texted him. It's unbelievable. It's so cool.
And seeing him like tear up, talking about it.
He was out. Know? He had 10 a.m. flights booked Saturday morning, him and his boys, because he didn't expect to make the cut. He was out partying Saturday night at local bars just because he was living in the moment.
Yeah.
This guy is an American golf dream. It's phenomenal.
And that it is a movie.
It's a movie.
It sounds like one.
For sure.
It sounds like
this guy
can't make it up.
To win this week,
if he wins, could you imagine if he wins
this week? He's a long shot to make the cut this week. But
odds. Get out of here with odds.
I know, but come on. It's awesome.
It is really cool.
He's what, 45, 46 years old?
It's what we, again, the latest reminder of why we watch sports. For moments like this, we have no idea who he is at all.
Nope.
And all of a sudden, you learn his story. And the best part about sports is the trying and how it is the way that we, as, you know, humans going about our business in the 21st century, sometimes learn about hard work paying off and how you see so many people succeed in this world when they're lying, or you see them succeed in this world when they are taking instead of making. Not to go too serious here, but that's what sports can show you. It is an incredible manner in which we can be reminded to just keep grinding in our daily lives. That's what Michael Block means. That's why I think everyone sees it and appreciates it. And it's just a fresh reminder, whatever you do in your life and how you're going about your business, just keep at it.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you will have an opportunity knocking and you answer the door and bust it down. Yeah, honestly, he might miss the cut this weekend, or and that's what most sports movies are, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Rock, spoiler alert, Rocky loses.
Right.
In the first movie. You know, now we've got Creed 3. But you know what I mean? Like, this is why we watch sports.
Yep.
And I love it.
I love it. It's so cool to see this guy get his moment. It's his 15 minutes.
It's great. Or it could be longer
Maybe
than that.
Maybe not. I hope so. It would be amazing.
John Daly, we all thought he had only 15 minutes.
He won a second major
after that.
Yeah.
The PGA Championship is what normally births a lot of these stories, too. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Kyle Shanahan spoke on Tuesday. And when you're the San Francisco 49ers head coach, you talk about all your quarterbacks and the quarterbacks from now, forevermore, literally. And don't laugh when he mentions the fourth stringer. All right?
I'll get it out.
Okay? Because once upon a time, the fourth stringer was Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Because they had to find a spot in a depth chart for whatever the hell he was at the time last summer. And as we all know, the fourth stringer played in the NFC Championship game last year.
Mr. Irrelevant.
No, the fourth stringer came in for the Mr. Irrelevant. He was the third stringer, Brock Purdy.
Right.
So here was Kyle Shanahan talking about Trey Lance and Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy all sharing a quarterback room.
We got two guys who are talented enough to be taken in the top five of the draft, and we have another guy who played like it last year. So I like the three guys we got, and I've always been a fan of Brandon Allen, just watching him throughout his career, and to be able to get him in here also, I feel real fortunate with our four.
Don't laugh when he's talking about I really like Brandon Allen, because of any coach that might look at him and say we might have to need him. It's that one.
You never know.
Now, what did I tell you last week, though? You might have been in Jacksonville at the time, Chris, but to me, the best case scenario for San Francisco is to have Brock Purdy be the guy out of all of them. And I know we're all looking at Sam Darnold like, this is finally his opportunity. He's got the spot. He's got the system. He's got the coach. He's got the stability. He never had in New York and clearly not in Carolina. This is his moment. He's going to take it. And of course, you know how I feel about Trey Lance. I thought that was the guy they were going to take because I believe he's got the biggest upside. He can be the guy who can run it and run the system. He can be the guy, if he doesn't give it to McCaffrey, you better watch out because he might be coming at you downhill. The other guys would be like, oh, okay, you have it. Good enough. I know you're throwing it. And I know Darnold can run it too. But Lance is the one with the bigger upside physically and how he can make the offense diverse. But Purdy is the guy because he's the guy on a 7th-round draft choice contract. He's the guy that over the next 3 years, or one would say 2 years maybe, you might have to give him a deal in his fourth and final year of his contract, the same way that Hurts just got one right now before his fourth and final year of his contract, because they don't have a fifth year of contractual control on him. But that means this year and next, they've got a way to beat you, win a championship with a guy making peanuts compared to what a quarterback of any other Super Bowl contender is kind of making. And I think you can hear that in Kyle Shanahan's voice when he talked about week one.
We're hoping for week one, and I feel pretty optimistic about that. That's what we're hoping for. He'll be ready to play in week one, and usually that doesn't mean that's the day he comes back. Usually you got to come before that to make that goal, and that's kind of the goal we're hoping for, and don't have any reason to think differently.
And you know who's starting to throw? It's Purdy. I truly believe that the way that they are running, and Trey Lance, to his credit, yesterday got up there and said exactly what he said at the Super Bowl. I earn nothing. I will compete for it. I love being here. I want to be nowhere else. But if Purdy starts throwing now and he starts showing up and he can go in training camp and they're looking at him saying, oh, he looks just like the kid last year, and he's not sitting there with his arm in ice, and he does what he needs to do in training camp, and he does what he needs to do in the first preseason game, then he's your guy. And they're going to go ride with him. And they'll have Darnold and Lance sitting there as backups unless somebody gets hurt elsewhere in training camp. And then all of a sudden, they'll be taking calls again for Lance. That's the guy. That's the guy. Because he's the one with a fifth-year option that's going to be through the roof. And if the Niners want to just send him somewhere else and not have to deal with that and have to make that decision based off of hardly seeing him, let somebody else deal with that. And Purdy's the guy. Because he can run it too. I mean, you know, he was running in the end zone, but not like Lance. So this is what I'm saying. Purdy is the best answer for the 49ers because he's on a seventh-round rookie contract.
Yeah, what is he making, like $600K or
something? Well, I mean, he's got to be making the minimum, right? $750? Maybe a little bit more? Do they wet his beak a little bit after doing what he did last year?
A little something for the effort.
I don't know. If I'm them, you don't. It's like you're coming off of surgery. We believe in you. We love you. But we'll take advantage of what you're making because guess who we have to give it to? Pretty much everybody else on defense.
Yeah. He's at 870.
It's just get out of here.
Yeah.
Look at every other contender in the NFC. Philadelphia, Los Angeles, if you want to talk about the Rams, talk about Dallas, talk about the Giants. What are those quarterbacks making? It starts with a 4 or 5 with a bunch of zeros after it. So that's why I pointed Purdy, and that's why I think they're saying week 1, let's roll. Still here, getting ready for hour 3. So that's why I said what I said. And I saw a few blogs saying Rich thinks Purdy is the best option. I think he is, because if he can play like he did, as Shanahan said, like he had top 5 in the draft talent, you got 2 number 3 overall choices sitting in the draft room with Mr. Irrelevant.
That's wild.
You got to choose Mr. Irrelevant because of what he's making right now and how you can build this team over the next 2 years, as opposed to not giving him the shot, every shot possible, or maybe a little bit of a boost up while you're choosing to throw Trey Lance out there again. And then you've got to make a monster expensive decision for a year 5 option. But as always, anything with the 49ers, it's May. Yeah, anything can happen the minute a football is put into play and a cart is on the field. And I mean, heaven forbid, but
like, how far away are we from a segment that we're doing top 5 trade spots for Trey Lance?
Could be,
you know,
but if anybody knows that they need to slow play this situation, it's the 49ers. Slow play it all the way down to the last drop, because you don't know who you might need to have around and who you're going to start. Chris Olave of the Saints coming up.